My dearly beloved, today on Palm Sunday, we read in the ceremonies before Mass the gospel of the entry of our Lord, the glorious entry on Palm Sunday into the Holy City. This is the only time we find in the Gospels where our Lord permitted regal honors to be given to him. Very often when our Lord would perform miracles, he would tell the individuals cured to go and tell no one. And oftentimes it says in the gospel, the more he told them this, the more they would spread it to others. But our Lord always sought to efface himself, to, you might say, disappear from the crowd. And on one occasion, in fact, the gospel we read two Sundays ago, which was the multiplication of the loaves, it mentions that after the people had been fed, they wanted to make him king. And so our Lord fled into the mountain alone. He would not allow them to give him these honors that were truly fitting for him as the King of Kings. However, on Palm Sunday, to fulfill the will of his Heavenly Father and to fulfill prophecy, our Lord entered the holy city in triumph. But how did he enter? Seated on a donkey. Can you imagine a less glorious manner for the Son of God to triumphantly enter the holy city? The people outdid one another in shouting hosannas and laying their cloaks and palm branches on the road, and considered it a great honor that the donkey would walk over their own cloaks. And the Pharisees on the side were angry and wanted our Lord to tell the people to silence them. They were angry that he was being given this honor. And this was done, as I said, that the prophecy might be fulfilled, which the evangelist mentioned, and I believe it was the prophet Zacharias in the Old Testament who said, "Tell the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king comes to thee, meek and seated upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." So our Lord enters in this humble manner, seated on a donkey. Our Lord did this, as always, to give us an example. Very often, you find yourself in some position of authority. Parents have authority over their children. You have priests and bishops. You also have, in the workplace, a foreman or a manager who has authority over some other employees. And our Lord gives us the example that when we are in a position of authority, we must exercise that authority with humility. Do you remember how our Lord washed the feet of the disciples at the Last Supper? And he told them that they were to imitate him, and that he came not to be served, but to serve. So our Lord set the example. And he also told his apostles, he said, "You know that the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who are in a position of authority, when they exercise that authority, they're very proud, very ambitious, and eager to seek that authority. But he said, it shall not be so among you, but let him who is in a position of authority, serve his brethren. Exercise that authority with humility." And think about this, that the more authority a person has, the greater his responsibility before Almighty God, the more he has to answer for. Someone who is a civil magistrate, a governor, a representative, a senator, or a president, or a king, depending on the type of government, that person has a lot more to answer for. And how about in the church? A priest, a bishop, above all a pope. How much do those in authority have to answer to God? And that is why the saints always sought to avoid honors. Do you remember the story of Pope St. Pius X? Before he was elected, his name was Cardinal Sarto, Cardinal Joseph Sarto. And it so happened in the conclave in 1903 that more and more votes were going for Cardinal Sarto, and it got to the point it was pretty obvious that on the next ballot, he would probably be elected by the required majority. And he was in his room, or else in the chapel, weeping, because he did not want this responsibility. He wanted to evade it. And a young Monsignor named Monsignor Mary Delval went up to him and said, "Cardinal Sarto, you must accept the election of the cardinals. It is the will of God." And this is how the saints were. They would seek to avoid honors unless they were told it's the will of God. You must accept this. Then they would exercise that authority with humility and with the realization of the great responsibility they had in the eyes of God. There's an interesting little ceremony in the traditional ceremony of the coronation of a pope. And the pope is carried into St. Peter's Basilica on a chair called the sedia gestatoria. And as he's taken up the aisle, there is a priest with a long pole. And on the end of the pole, there's something flammable. I believe it's flax or cotton, something that's flammable. And he takes another pole that has a flame on the end of it, kind of like the altar boys use to light the candles on the altar. And he lights the ball of flax, and it immediately is engulfed in flames and burns up in a short time. And as he does that, he says to the newly elected pope, "Sic transit gloria mundi." Thus passes the glory of the world. And you think how sad it is that so many people do whatever they can to get elected or get to a position of power. Ambition is a very strong drive in the human heart. And some there are who are so ruled by this ambition that they will make use of dishonest means. They will buy votes. They will do whatever they can to get into a position of authority and honor and influence. And you think how sad. Don't they realize the responsibility they will have before Almighty God? And so this is a lesson that our Lord gives us. Entering the holy city, yes, in triumph, because it was the will of his Father, but entering in humility, seated on a donkey. And he also enters in humility to show us that we need not fear approach him. He is our king, but he is a meek and gentle king, and he can easily be approached. And he desires that we come to him with all our needs, all our petitions, all our prayers, and never be afraid or hesitant to pray to him, to come to him, to be healed, and to obtain the blessings that we need. During this week, let us reflect, of course, upon the passion of our Lord, but especially upon the example that our Lord gives us. Throughout his passion, everything he did was an example to us. It is very sad when you read, I believe it is St. John the Evangelist who mentions this fact, that when the people were calling out for our Lord's death, "Let him be crucified," Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they said, "We have no king but Caesar." And for me, that is the most fearful thing that they said. Most people will point to the fact that the people cried out, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." And indeed, that is a horrible curse which they brought upon themselves. "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." But in a sense, what is even worse is rejecting the kingship of Christ. We have no king but Caesar. The Jewish people detested the Roman government. They detested this dominion of a foreign power over them, the chosen people. And for them to say we have no king but Caesar was a complete contradiction to everything they believed. They who were expecting the Messiah and should have recognized him. We, on the other hand, must say, "I have no king but Jesus. He is my king, and I will serve him as a loyal subject." Let us strive always to imitate our Lord in his meekness and humility. "Learn of me," he says, "because I am meek and humble of heart." Let us swear our fidelity, our undying loyalty to our Lord. Let us protest that that we will never have another king, we will never have another master but Christ, and that we will always strive to imitate him in humility, in meekness, in love of God, and in bearing whatever authority we have with a deep realization of the responsibility that we shall one day have to render an account of in the sight of God for the position that we hold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.